Matthew in chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. I'm just going to read a couple of verses this morning. But as you find that, please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful that you have given to us your word, and we pray even now that you would cause it to work in us. Father, the very peace of this prayer about which we're to speak, we pray that you would do now, and that is that your name would be hallowed, that you would hallow your name among us. And even as we speak of it, would we know what it means also because we realize that it's happening. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 9, this is the Lord Jesus. He says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's all we need right now. We began this prayer last week in terms of really considering what Jesus is teaching to us about praying. And it began with this address that said, "Father, our Father in heaven." And I must say that this week, I've been somewhat annoyed by that at first because it slowed me down. I began to pray and I would say, "Our Father in heaven," and I'd want to just rush in and say stuff. But then I remembered the sermon I preached last week and said, "All right, who are you really?" And I began to think then about our Father in heaven, and rather than being annoyed, it was very helpful. Because I recognized the fact that I was praying, as we said, in Jesus' name, because He's only my Father, because of what the Lord Jesus has done in living and dying and rising again, and what the Spirit of God has done in moving in my life, in my heart, and calling me to the Lord and causing me to respond in repentance and faith. And I realized that He was my Father, not because of me, but because of Him. And I realized because it was His work that it couldn't be undone, and that I had the right, therefore, to be a child of God. I wasn't begging when I said, "Our Father in heaven." It was my right, amazingly so, to say, "My Father in heaven," to have access to Him and all of the benefits that would be a child of a Father who is God Almighty in heaven. And I began to think about in heaven, and I realized that He could see everything and that He knew everything, and nothing that I was going to say was going to be a surprise to Him. But I realized that still He delighted in me coming to Him, and He was happy that I was coming to Him, and that He was singing over me, as we said, and all of these things. And it began to change my prayer list, and it certainly changed my attitude. We come to pray, "Our Father in heaven." And then you see, after that, after we know who it is that we're speaking to, He then allows us to think about petitions, things that we're going to ask. And as we said last week, the prayer is divided into six petitions that follow. Some say seven. I don't really care how you number them, actually. There's been a big problem between the Lutherans and the Presbyterians for years over the number of petitions. But anyway, the Lutherans have been wrong before. oh my goodness. But let's say six petitions. The first three, Presbyterians have always liked symmetry. The first three being how we come to God. You see, it's interesting that in the prayer that Jesus prays, obviously He begins with His Father, and then He begins with petitions which deal primarily with God, not primarily, if you will, with us. And so He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Those three petitions concerning God, and then moving on into petitions which are according to our particular needs, if you will. And this one, "Hallowed be your name," is one that catches us up, because first of all, we wonder what exactly does that mean. We pray it rather mindlessly. If you're in a situation where you're just praying this Lord's Prayer aloud with a group of people, you're trying to get the words right and so forth, "Hallowed be your name." You see, this little word "name" comes up in the Scripture all the time. especially in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms. We're to exalt the name of the Lord. We're to praise the name of the Lord. We're to find hope in the name of the Lord. We're to find power in the name of the Lord. We are to glory in the name of the Lord. We're to magnify the name of the Lord. We're to call upon the name of the Lord. We're to seek the name of the Lord. What is it that we're calling upon, praising, exalting, magnifying, seeking, finding hope in when we say the name of the Lord? Now, as we know in Scripture, names are very often very significant. They have meaning, so much so that God changes people's names when He changes them and or changes their calling, like changing the name of Abraham to Abraham or Jacob to Israel and so forth and so on. So we know that names are important because, you see, names are the revealed character of that person. If you know their name, you know them. Years ago, a missionary who was with a particular part of the nation of Africa had come and said that when he got there, being the nice American that he was, he went around and told everybody his name. And he expected everybody to tell him their name, and they didn't. And so he'd have to be sneaky about it and listen for it. And when he found out their name, then he would call them by name. And when he would speak of them out in the public, he would speak of them by their name. And finally, someone came up to him and said, "Why do you use my name?" "My name," that person said, "is me. And my name is only for my friends. It isn't to be bantered about." Because in that particular culture, they really had a biblical sense, at least, of what names were all about, because their name revealed who they were. It was an intimate kind of thing. And when God says my name, He means me or Him. So He said, when you're to seek my name, you're to seek me, you're to seek what I've revealed to you about myself. And very often in Scripture we find God revealing Himself by naming Himself. In the very beginning of the Bible, in the opening chapters of the Old Testament in Hebrew, we find a name for God which is Elohim, which is, means He's the Creator and the Sustainer, the Almighty God. Elohim. But then you might remember when Moses was going to go back to Egypt in order to deliver the people out of their slavery, he says to God, because he doesn't want to go and he's afraid to go, "Who is it that I should tell them has sent me?" And God then gives him a very special name, which in Hebrew we know is Yahweh, which means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. Basically, it's very close to the verb to be. God is saying to him, give them this name. This is the one who is sending you, so that they'll know that the one who is sending you is self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-existing, eternal. That He is whoever it is that He wishes to be, and He will be whoever He wants to be, and no one will change Him, and He needs no one else. And that's a very comforting thing to know, because that very one, he's saying, tell these people, I'm powerful enough, I'm strong enough, I'm sovereign enough, and actually I own them. Therefore, if I want to bring them out, they should be confident that I can do that. So when you tell them this name has sent you, then they should say, hey, we're on our way home. And then he goes through and gives a number of other names throughout the course of his relationship with his people. You know the story of Abraham up on the mountain when he's told by God to slay his son. And God stays his hand and God gives him the name. He said, I am God, my name is your provider. God the provider. I will provide the sacrifice. I will provide for your life. I will provide for your salvation. Another occasion, Moses is praying for the people as they're fighting. You might remember the story, because Moses went up on the mountain and he would hold his hands up to pray. And when he held his hands up to pray, the people would be winning the battle. And when he got weary and his hands began to fall, the people would begin to lose the battle. And so he had two priests come, one along each side, and hold his hands up. And at the end of that, God gave him a special name again. He says, I am God, your banner. That is to say, if you hold me up high, then I will cover you and I will fight for you. On another occasion, the parents of Samson were praying because they wanted to have a child, and the angel of the Lord came to them, and it was really a theophany. It was really God himself who came to them. And so they asked the angel of the Lord, "What's your name?" And the angel of the Lord says, "Why do you ask? My name isn't understandable to you." Or another way to translate that is that my name is wonderful. It's so huge. It's so great. It will simply cause you to wonder. That is, God himself is wonderful. He is our banner. He is our provider. He is our healer, the Bible says. He is our righteousness, the Bible says. He is our shepherd, the Bible says. All of these are names for God. And as God gives us his names, he's describing for us who he is. He's revealing himself. And so when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're praying that God himself would be hallowed. Now, what does that mean? It means, the word hallowed comes from the word that means holy. And holy means set apart, different. It's everything about God that makes him different and makes him great. And we talk about God being hallowed. We're praying that God himself would work in such a way that he, above everything and everyone else, in every circumstance and by everybody, would be honored, would be revered, would be known as holy. Hallowed be your name. Now, when we think about that, first and foremost, realize that this is something that God himself desires. See, when the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray, he's teaching us to pray things that God wants prayed, that we should be praying. God desires for himself, for his name, to be hallowed above everything else. See, the Bible says in Isaiah, for instance, chapter 42, verse 8, we read, "I am the Lord, that is my name." So he's already saying, "I'm the Lord," and when he says, "I'm the Lord," he's saying, "I am Yahweh, I am who I am, that's my name, that's who I am." And he goes on to say, "I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols." You see, God says, this is who I am. Therefore, I will be glorified. I will be hallowed. I will be honored. I will be revealed throughout all of the earth. That's God's desire. That's what he's moving to. This fits with his will. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11, we read, for my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." You see, God desires to be glorified. God desires to be honored. God will work in all things. Now, occasionally with people, that's offensive. They think, "Oh, that's so self-centered of God." But it isn't at all, because he's God. If it were you, it would be self-centered. You don't have the right to be glorified, but everything that God thinks and everything that God says and everything that God desires is perfect. It is the very best. He would be doing us a disservice. He would be doing himself a disservice if he didn't seek after that which he knew was best, which is himself. It would be immoral for God not to seek his own glory, because he is the very best. And you see, when we're praying this, we're praying right in the will of God. We're praying exactly what God is working at. We're praying exactly what God desires to occur. That in every circumstance, in every situation, by everybody, that his name would be hallowed, would be made holy. And you see, for each of us, then it's very early on in this prayer, a real gut check. See, first we have to get over the address to God. And we have to say, is he really my Father? Do I really know him intimately? Do I have the right to be a child of God? That is, am I coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we can't get over the address of the prayer, we can't pray. Because he is our Father in heaven. And if that is not how we know him, we're not talking to him. And then he says, Now, I want you to pray that in every circumstances, by everybody, the most important thing, the preeminent thing, the thing above everything else, is that I, God, would be honored. That is to be your heart's desire. It's interesting, you know, as Jesus lists out this prayer, he lists things really very much in order of importance. The very first thing that he thinks about as he begins to make his petitions is that God's name would be honored. That's the most important thing. And the question for each of us is that the very most important thing in our lives? We enter into a situation, is our first thought, God? Is that our very first thought? And so you see, it may very well be at this point in time that you need to be praying for your own heart's desires. When I get to this point and I pause at hallowed be your name, very often I have to pray, oh God, work in me that I would desire above everything else your name to be hallowed. I pray every Sunday morning about worship services. And just because of the nature of my position, certainly not the nature of my personality, I have to spend a lot of time in front of people. And every Sunday, I have to go through this exercise of saying, God, work in me that my heart's desire is that you're honored. Because God, deep down, I'd really like them to like me. I really would like them to honor me. But God, I know that isn't right. And I know that that will do them no good at all. It won't do you any good at all to live your life in honor of me. Trust me. It doesn't do me any good to live my life in honor of me. And so I have to pray, God, work in me now so that I can honestly and sincerely pray that your name would be hallowed, not mine. Because you see, that really is that great sin. Turn back to Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Then they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. You see, what we really desire in our sinful self is to make a name for ourselves. And God said, no. You are here to make a name for me. And that is to be your heart's desire, that my name would be hallowed. You see, when we come to pray to him, this is what we're praying. We're praying, God, in every situation, in every circumstance, in me and everybody else, first and foremost, that you would have preeminence. That our great desire is for you to be seen and known and honored as God, as holy. And we have to ask ourselves, is that really my heart's desire? Because I come and I need to pray for myself. God, hallowed be your name through me in my own life, that is, in my own thoughts. The Bible says that we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is to say, that in my mind's eye anyway, when I think of that, I see words flashing in my thoughts, and I'm almost in a sense, I see a lasso come and lasso those words and pull them in and become servants, obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are these good thoughts? Hallowed be your name in my own mind as I think them. And therefore, when there are arrogant thoughts, or when there are angry thoughts, when there are lustful thoughts, when there are prideful thoughts, God, hallowed be your name in my own thoughts. Hallowed be your name in my speech and how I talk to other people. How I talk to other people about you, God. Am I using your name reverently? I always say this. I'm going to keep saying this probably till I die. in our culture. Be very careful. It is so easy to pick up the little expression, oh God, or oh my God, or oh God this, or oh God that. When you use the name of the Lord, be careful, because it's His. And when we invoke His name, we invoke the presence of God. Don't do it flippantly. Do it carefully. Also, when people say, the Lord told me this, be very careful. Make sure it was the Lord who told you that. Get an autographed copy. Duplicate. Triplicate. One for your files, one for your friends that you're telling that to, and one just because no one's going to believe you anyway. But be careful with that expression, because it's the Lord, you see, that you're invoking in that place. Be careful how you speak to others, because in every conversation, your underlying theme should be, God, I want you to be honored in this conversation, however that may happen to be. In your businesses, your first thought shouldn't be profit. It should be hallowing the name of the Lord. Now, that may mean making a profit, and that's all right. But that's your first concern, and really overriding concern. In your marriages, your first concern isn't to feel good and be happy necessarily, though I would hope by and large in your marriages you feel good and are happy. But the first and overriding consideration is God being honored, being revered, being holy in my marriage. And see, when you're having marital difficulties and you come to the Lord, generally we want to start out by saying, God, would you please stop her, keep her from doing that? That was a little personal. Stop him from doing that. Whatever that may happen to be. She's not here. But the first prayer, you see, when we're having marital difficulties should be, Father, in my marriage, hallowed be your name. Cause me to honor you in this. So when people are contemplating, for instance, divorce, we have to ask the question, how will this honor God? Well, it'll make me happy. I didn't ask that question. How will this honor God? Will it? We need to be very, very careful. Because you see, Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. And so our first petition, our first concern, our overriding concern is for God and His name to be honored by all people, to be hallowed by all. Students, when you're in school, as you're thinking about choosing a major, as you're in a particular class, your first prayer and overriding prayer, the thing you should pray and everything else should be informed by, is, God, in my class, in my life, in my major, in my ultimate career, I want you and you alone to be honored and revered by this. What would glorify you? What would make you happy? That's what I would want to do. What would show your name to be great in everything in our lives? And certainly, therefore, we're praying that we would be obedient to God. We're praying that we would know His word. We're praying that we would pray well, because that honors God. All of those things in our lives fall under this one little phrase, hallowed be your name. You see, we can't pray that quickly. We can't simply sit down and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because if we're thinking and we say our Father, it stops us. In heaven, it stops us. Hallowed be your name, it stops us. And it begins then to revise our prayer lists, because in every one of those things, the very first thing that comes to mind is, Father, hallowed be your name in this situation, in that situation, in circumstances of life. When you're sick and you feel really, really rotten, what is the first thing that you should pray? Father, in the midst of this illness, please enable me to honor you At our presbytery meeting yesterday, I had the opportunity to lay hands on three men and pray for them. Two of them had bad backs, and one of them had an optic nerve problem. And so as I began to lead us in prayer about those illnesses, because I'm generally more convicted by my preaching than probably you are, I began to pray. Father, the most important thing in the lives of these men is that you're honored. They would rather, I was speaking on their behalf at this point, but that's what you get to do when you're praying for them. Father, they really would rather desire your glory than their health. Father, if it would honor you more in their lives to make them crippled and blind, they would rather that. I think it was about then they had wished they'd asked someone else to pray. They would rather that. Because, Father, we desire your glory more than our very lives, more than our very comforts. Father, the prophets of old said that they would scorn the praise of men and accept the persecution for the sake of your name, because your name is more valuable than comfort or life itself. Hallowed be your name in this situation. I did go on to pray that they'd be healed, if that would so honor the Lord. And I'm very expectant, because God is our healer, and he may well do that. I was very pleased with Gary Kemp the other day, and so we met together and talked about the memorial service for the swimmer who had died. We talked about all kinds of things. And as we talked about putting the service together, he looked at me and he says, Bill, I want them to hear the gospel, no matter what else. And he said, whatever you do, I want you, he says, this may be the last time that some of these people have an opportunity to hear the gospel in this place. Above all things, no matter what else we do, I want God to be hallowed in this place. You're driving down the street. You're sitting there at a red light. Somebody rams in the back of you. What should your first prayer be? All right, your second. I'll give you a break. Your first prayer should be, Father in heaven. And when you say that, you see, all of a sudden, you're realizing that this wasn't an accident. Because your Father is in heaven. And because he's in heaven, it means he's sovereign. And because he's sovereign, it means that he simply could have stopped that car because he's done it before, but he didn't this time, and so he is your Father in heaven, and therefore you're sitting there realizing that at this moment in time, interestingly enough, contrary to every inclination of your mind and heart, this is the very best place for you to be. With an automobile, as my children always would say, that needs a fanny tuck. You know, it just is all bashed in the back. The best place for you to be. And then you can then pray, Father, the most important thing in the here and now is that whatever I say and whatever transpires in these moments ahead, hallowed be your name. Honor yourself in this situation through me and everything that I do and say. And you'd be surprised how that changes your demeanor and how that changes your attitude at that moment in time. Because then the goal isn't to get your car fixed or paid for or to assess blame or anything like that. Your goal then is to see God honored and glorified. And therefore, strength comes through the name of the Lord in order to be kind and to be gracious and to be fair and to be honest and to be righteous and to be just. All of those in a good combination and in an amazing way. You can rest because your heart's desire is that God would be honored in all things, because that's more important than your car. That's more important than the money. That's more important than anything else. Hallowed be your name. And you see, this also moves in us how it is that we relate to other people, because it impacts the example of our lives to others. Because I want to live my life in such a way, and that's really what I'm praying for here. God, enable me to live my life here in such a way that the example of my life causes you to be honored in the lives of other people. That this person would see my life, as the Bible says in Matthew 5, and glorify my Father who is in heaven. Honor my Father who is in heaven. And so it impacts then how I live my life, because I'm realizing that my life is an example to someone else. And so it does matter about how I live in my marriage. It's going to affect someone else and how they honor God. There's nothing more devastating in a Christian community than for a couple that claims the name of Christ and to divorce. It is devastating. And it does not cause others to honor the Lord at that point, you see. For young people, it does matter how you live your lives sexually because of that example. And for the students here and the young people, if you love me, I want to tell you something. If you don't listen to this, because you'll be mad at me. But if you love me, and you know I love you, I want to give you a piece of advice. I'm sounding like a parent. I'm sounding like a preacher. I want to give you a piece of advice that this culture doesn't think of all the time. And you can find yourself in this situation, and I don't know that anybody here does. I don't know of anybody in our church who's in this situation, so I can say this, although I'd say it even if I did. But I'm going to give you this little insight into how culture has changed. Very often we run into situations, especially in a university community, wherein young men and young women share the same apartment, even though they're not sexually intimate. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And the reason I raise that is because very often it causes that, just that experience, even though everything is wonderful inside that apartment, it may cause the name of the Lord to be dishonored. Because you see, in our culture, people think if a young man and a young woman share the same apartment, they're sexually active. And so just the impression, just seeing that causes people to say, that person says they're a Christian, but they're living in this kind of situation. I bet. And then it can cause the name of the Lord not to be hallowed. And I only mention that because that's a change in our culture. In these days, that is, we have co-ed dorms, we have co-ed apartments, we have co-ed everything. And you may not think about that, but think about that. And then be analyzing your life. What is there in my life that would cause others to perhaps dishonor the name of the Lord? This is why we do witnessing. This is why we share Christ with people. I share Christ with people first and foremost, not because I love them, I must confess, but because I love God and because it honors Him when I talk about Him with people. In every circumstance, in every situation, we're praying that God's name be honored. This week as you pray, and it may help you to pray with paper and pencil or your computer, write "Our Father in Heaven" and make a list. What's that mean? And then pray, "Hallowed be your name," and make a list. Make a list of all the areas of life that you desire God to be honored in your life, in the lives of others. And begin to pray that back to Him. Because you see, this is a petition that we have to God. And what that means is, we're saying, God, we're dependent upon You for this. If left to our own devices, we will not honor You. And if left to our own devices, this world will not honor You. And so, God, I'm going to pray that You would work in such a way today that Your name above everything else would be honored by me and by all people. That Your name would be hallowed. And therefore, when you go off to work, watch as God honors His own name through you. And be intentional about that. And as different circumstances come up in your life, watch how God answers that prayer and honors himself in the midst of that situation. Because this is a petition to him. And if you find yourself as you begin to pray thinking, this really isn't my heart's desire, stop. Confess that as sin. Repent and turn from it. And say, God, work in me that everything in my heart would desire your honor, your glory above everything else. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful that you have called us to be yours through Jesus Christ. Pray for each of us that we would desire above all else your name to be holy. Father, that we desire for your name to be honored in every decision that we make, in every thought that we think, in every activity in which we're engaged. That your name would be hallowed. Work this in us, Lord. For if you don't work it in us, it simply will not happen. And we will strike out to make a name for ourselves. And Father, in dependence upon you, with great expectation, we pray that you would hallow your name in us, through us, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. I remind you of the prayer of our elders that's across the hall after this service. I also would invite you to attend one of our Sunday school classes. And I remind you that our congregational response is simply that phrase, "Hallowed be your name." And so when you respond to the benediction this morning and say that you're expressing something of your heart's desire. And you're saying, God, above everything else and everything I do and think and say, today and this week and throughout the rest of my life, I want you to be honored. I receive this as God's benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing for doing his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, hallowed be thy name.